if you've been in church as a believer or even as a non-believer, you probably know that Genesis is a rather lengthy book of the Bible in the front of the Old Testament, in the front of your Bible, right? Does anybody know how long it is in the number of chapters?
50.
What? I thought he was adding to Scripture for a minute. We got to be watching that guy. 50 chapters. Now, I know that most of you realize that we have just come through the book of John and that took a while. We are not going to do the same thing through Genesis, so hopefully you're relieved a little bit. What we are going to try to do through Genesis is spend a six-month time frame in Genesis instead of just trying to cover all the 50 chapters in 5 years that it might take me to do that at the pace that I did before, which would be a long time for us. What I want to try to do then is go through some of Genesis in 6 months, and then we can, as the Spirit leads for this body, we need certain things that we can absorb and be able to use in our Christian walk. And the reason that we're really going to do this one this way is because we need to spend some time at the front of Genesis. More than, even if we were going to do the whole book, we would spend a lot more time at the front, because this is at the front of the Scripture that's been given to us. There are reasons for that, reasons that many of us don't even realize, including myself. There are other, why does God put this book here? And why does he do it this way? We're going to be talking about a little bit of this as we go through. So as we get started even, it will seem like it's pretty slow in that regard as far as covering the words of the Scripture text. But what I really have a desire to do is help us to put our roots into our God in that relationship with Christ, which is just as much here as it is in the New Testament. Christ is all over the Old Testament as well. And to help us to take that in and learn and be able to maybe be able to tell someone why we believe in creationism, if that's the choice that we do believe, and most of us as believers do. But there's even nuances of that. Now, I don't want to get into technical things and spend weeks and weeks talking about what other men think. That's not what I'm going to try to do here. But it is important, I think, to, as a body of believers, to go back to the beginning at times, and that's what we're going to do right now. In the beginning, God. First four words in most of the translations in English. There's only two words in the Hebrew there that translate into these four words in English, and most of the translations, most of the more solid translations, begin with these four words. And that's another point that I want to touch on as we get in here. Help us to understand why we believe what we believe and where that all starts. And, of course, in the book of Genesis, not a better place to start. So with all that as kind of a preface, let's ask our God to help us to endeavor to go through with him and his word. Father, we give you all glory. It's already your glory. We don't really even give it back, but we exhibit it because we have Jesus the Christ in us, the Holy Spirit residing in our own spirit with us, Lord, as we have followed you in your plan of redemption. Lord, I praise you for salvation. As we begin to take a look at the words that Moses penned, but the words definitely that you gave him to pen many, many years, if not thousands upon thousands of years after they actually occurred, he writes them down for us because you have spoken through him. You have given him words of wisdom that we have in our hands. Help us, Father, to be able to articulate some, at least part, of this word of truth in a way that will be pleasing to you, that will bring you glory, that will shine the light of the world, Jesus the Son, back upon the Father, as we have been so vividly reminded of even throughout the Gospel of John and other places in Scripture. The Son does nothing Without the Father, we serve one God, not three gods. Why is this true? Why do we even serve a God? What have you done in this universe? Why should we believe in one God? Why should we believe that you, God, gave us these words? What can we do with these words of truth to exhibit you back to others in this world? Help us, Father, as we try to magnify it, allow you even to magnify the words of truth this morning. There is nothing that I can do without you, period. You could add to that, but Lord, I think I'll just leave it there. Help us this morning as we start this great book, at the beginning of the great book, at the beginning of the truth of who you are and who we are. We praise your holy name, and we pray in the name of the Son, Jesus. Amen. I do want to read through the first chapter, begin to keep implanting this into our minds again. So Genesis 1, beginning in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with the swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, sixth day. A first, a genesis, a beginning of something. Let's look this morning at only these four words. We will really encompass a little more than just these four words in what we're about to do, but let's ask some questions like who, what, where, when? What's the last one? Why? Who are we talking about? God. Anybody know the Hebrew word used in this text for God? That's a good one, but that's not the one used. Yahweh, she said. Elohim. El for God. This God, Elohim. Again, I'm not trying to teach language studies here. I'm not even going to attempt to do that. But it's good for us to know the names of God and where we might find them. This is El, God. He is Elohim, God of the Hebrew children. Who is God? He is a what? A supreme being. Is he just a supreme being? Well, we might describe that more with an article. The. He is the supreme being. How about these words? God is self-existent. This text, and is again important on the order, even in the English, for us to see, in the beginning, God. Well, there's a what question we're going to answer, but in the beginning of what? We're going to answer it later, but what is this what we're going to answer? What is it? Do we know? How about just classify it as creation? In the beginning of what creation? Who was in the beginning of creation? God. Do you ever want to ask yourself, how was God created? Or do you know better? How do you say that? How do you refer to God as his being? You usually say, you could say, as some of the reformers have said in the past, or the church fathers, they've argued the question of those who believe that God wasn't always there. There was never a time when he was not there. So what does that mean? He's self-existent. He's always been. We just jumped outside of our minds because we can't comprehend that. He's always been. He has never been in need of another. Self-sufficient. Does he need you? Does he need you? I didn't say, does he want you? Does he use you? Does he enjoy you? I didn't say that because Scripture talks about these things that he does want us. There's a reason for us being here. Does he need us to do his work? Does he need us to do his work? And the answer is no. Does he need us so he can enjoy us? And the answer is no. He can enjoy himself. And that's not self-conceit. That's the holiness of God that we can't understand because of our perversion. He had no He's always been, so there was no reason for anything to affect him. He is the effector. He is the uncaused cause, is the way some people state that. He's the cause of everything. He himself was not caused. He is. Relates back to those really cool words that Jesus used when he says, I am, or God told Moses, tell him that I am sent you. I have always been. I am. I am the one who created you. There's another thing in connection with creation that he created at the same time, and that's a key word, that's a hint. Time. He created time. And he's outside of time. He doesn't need time to exist. And you say, how could I live without a clock, a watch, a schedule? I mean, there are some of us who just love throwing away the clock and throwing away the schedules. But pretty soon we have to get back on a schedule because there are things in this world that demand of us to be at a certain place at a certain time. So you could have said, well, I want to study Genesis and start that, but I really don't want to be in that building at 10 o'clock. So if I just come at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll take... That's not going to work, is it? Because, well, you can study Genesis in the building at 2 o'clock if you want. And you may get more out of it than you get out of it at 10, depending upon how God uses you and me. But the schedule is for what? If you're going to do this, you need to be here at 10 o'clock on a given Sunday when we meet congregationally. There's a schedule. So time is important to us. Time is important to God because he created it for a reason, reasons, many of which I probably do not know, but for us to function within that time so that we understand something, it gives us logic, it helps us to understand a little bit about who he is. But as soon as we start thinking beyond time, we're lost again. We're going, God, help us with this. We don't understand how you exist outside of time. But all this to say, this is a great God, amen? Somebody who can create time is pretty awesome. So, and these are the things that we believe, that that he is the uncaused cause. We may have trouble explaining that to someone. We may even scratch our own heads and think that's a strange statement, an uncaused cause. It just means that God has always been here, always been, not even here, just he is. He's always been. He doesn't depend on anything outside of himself. We, on the other hand, depend on much outside of ourselves. Mainly, if we understand about creation and God, which we're trying to attempt to do, we understand that the main thing, the main person that we depend on is this God. We sing songs. This is the one true God. Why do we sing that? Do we believe it? And you say, well, sure, I believe. This is the one true God that we're talking about. Who is he? He is Elohim. He is the supreme being. He is. These are very important terms, these self-existent, self-sufficient, and eternal. What is eternal? Another word for eternal. Starts with an F. Forever. Has always existed. Will always exist. There never was a time when he was not. He is eternal, which means that he is unchangeable. Does anybody know one of those sophisticated words for unchangeable that we talk about as an attribute of God? It starts with an I. It is immutable. This is just, it's kind of, let's keep learning some of a vocabulary that some people use in context of the attributes of God. In order for him to be eternal, which he is, and in order for us to attempt to explain that, even in our language, he is unchangeable. He cannot be changed. Now, some will say, well, Scripture tells us that if we pray about these things, God will be moved to do that. Does that mean he changes his mind? And that's another whole area to go to, because we talk about God knowing ahead of time what is going to happen, and then we get into many other things with that. But he himself cannot be evil. He is unchangeable. You can't make God evil. God can't make himself evil. He wouldn't be God. He is inescapable. What does that have to do with us? He created us, yes? Is there a moment in your day? I should rather say, is there a moment in the day that God has given you, because he gave us everything, that he does not know what you are doing? Is there a moment that you can hide something from him? But sometimes we live like we think we can, don't we? I hope God didn't see that. Really? That contradicts what you know to be true about him. You and I cannot escape him. Now, most of us, if not all of us, I hope, sitting here, would say, I don't want to escape him. I want him. I need him. I know that I need him. I have been reclaimed, redeemed by him. I want to be in his glory. I can't wait till this ugliness is over and I'm sitting in glory worshiping my Savior. I mean, this is what he's given the words of Revelation. He's given the words from the gospel writers. He's given the words to the prophets. He's given the words to Moses. He gave these words so that we might look forward to that day when we're with him again in glory, because we are living in a fallen world now. That's not the way he created it, but that's the way it came to be. And along with that, it wasn't like, oh, man. Man messed up. Now I'm going to have to come up with a plan. He knew what he was going to do. He knew man would fall. Yet what we want to try to do is really get a grip on the bigness of our God. Even though we cannot really do even that, we cannot come to a point where we understand how big God is, because he's always going to be bigger than that, right? Because if you could describe and put time in a box, you and I would always, what's on the outside of that? Well, we know that at least God is on the outside of time. And he's in time too. He's not just on the outside looking down at a box of time with a bunch of people running around. Again, the bigness of this one who is eternal, this one who has always been, this one who we reduce to things that are sizable in the box. And we put him into these containers in our mind, whether they're little cardboard structures or not. We box him up so that we can try to understand who he is. We could even say that the writers of Scripture have boxed God up to some degree, but in their hearts they were wanting the Spirit to speak to them. God spoke to them and have them write words so we can understand who God is, but this box is a living box. This box can't even be boxed in this little form that it's in right here. It is so much bigger than that. It's living, and it's active, and it's two-edged, and it hurts, and it heals, and it brings joy, and it does tell us, we might say it attempts to tell us, but it does tell us, whether we understand it or not, how did you and I come about in this world? How did God do this? Why did he do this? What did he do? When did he do it? So let's move to what did he create? We've already answered that before. It is creation that he created. And what is creation? What does creation consist of? Trees, people. People are created being. Animals are created beings. Oh, whoops, we got a little bigger all of a sudden. Good. The universe. Is that about the biggest way that we can explain the expanse? I don't know how else to do it either. Because let's start naming some things in the universe. Come on, Mr. Scientist over here. Somebody, name some things that are in this universe. Stars. What is the Milky Way? A galaxy. What is a galaxy? Lots of stars. What's the most famous star that we know? The sun. What is the sun? Don't say Jesus. That's who is the sun. Say that again. A big ball of incandescent gas. How big is the ball? Anybody? It's a lot bigger than the Earth. How many times? I don't even know how many times. 300 times? Okay. You're free to Google. Go ahead. Give me some things. That's good. That's a good discussion, because I want us to understand we talk about these things and yet we bring it all back down and put it in this little box. And this is our God. But let's go a little further with the universe. Some of you know this. We spoke of the Milky Way, which is one galaxy. How many galaxies are there? Now, I don't know these numbers. That have been discovered. Exactly. We're not even finished with that yet. And the inquiring mind wants to know, whenever you get to the last one, what's on the outside of that one? Another one. How do we grasp that? At some point, we just have to trust who? God. We're talking about the Milky Way, which I don't even really have a comprehension of how big that one galaxy is. And I think I read where galaxies are generally 66 million miles apart from each other. Something like that. You could put numbers everywhere, because this is just, the expanse is so big. So, I mean, I can relate to a little bit more to 93 million miles. What's that distance? Earth to the sun, 93 million. You can relate to that, right? You put a few miles on a vehicle, you put that many on one? Scientists even don't relate to us mostly how many miles it is to something once we get out there past our solar system. How do we refer to that? It's how many light years away. So what's a light year? How fast does light go in a second? 186,000 miles? This is a little bit on the wording of the translations that we have, and our most valid translations coming from the Hebrew have in the beginning God. Some of them say after, or I don't have them right in front of me, but as God began to create, like a living Bible or something like that. Now, understand that I'm not picking on each one and saying this is good, this is bad, this is good. But we do agree that the more valid translations have the word order correct so that we can understand what God is trying to use the words of the original writers to tell us. It doesn't mean that you can't get saved reading a living Bible or something else, because God can use those things. But this is why we pay attention to words. Because if we say something like, as God began to create, which there is a translation out there, what does that kind of suggest in your mind about matter? As God began to create. Because the way you and I understand create, we know that we say God created something out of nothing, but then we can't define nothing. So we're not real good with that. But you just think of you and I creating something. We don't create anything out of nothing. We use resources to create things from, resources that God has already given us. So just think about the word order. As God began to create, there was matter before God. Is that the way you understand? That's the importance of this. In the beginning, what? That's it. That's the bottom line. Even though the sentence goes on, and there are multiple ways to translate, and it is coming from another language, this word order here is really important for us, because in the beginning of what we know or have been told about in here, the bottom line is G-O-D, Elohim. That's all you need to know. Now, we can try to answer other things, which we're trying to do. Is Genesis historical or fiction, especially the first 11 chapters, which may be all we cover in that six-month time? I don't know. But at least I want to cover that, because the world comes at us and says, yes, I believe this about God, or I believe there might be a God, but that whole first 11 chapters of Genesis, that is just a myth. How are we going to respond to that? No, it's not. It's the real thing. That's how you're going to respond, right? Because you're a Christian. But how are you going to respond in a way that will show the love of God to one who just absolutely refuses it at the point that you're at with them, at that point in their life? Okay, that's a good point. How can we believe the Holy Spirit teaches us the truth about salvation and then turn around and say he's not teaching the truth about creation? I believe this part, but not this part. These are simple arguments that you can use to the point where we're at with this right now to say, that's why I believe the whole Bible. If we're going to buy into what's in the Bible, it's either all true or none of it's true. We could say, well, parts of it, like people have tried to do, parts of it's true and parts of it aren't, then what's the trustworthiness of it? How do you know when to say what's true and what's not? Then you get into the arguments of, well, this part is and this part isn't, and the next person flips that because of whatever they want to believe. So whatever we want to believe, the whole thing is given to us as truth. All right, when? Got to go a little quicker. The beginning of time, creation, billions and trillions of years ago? 6,000 years ago, plus or minus? Now, we're going to vary here because nobody knows. God knows, but none of us do. How about these? Now, we might spend a little time on these next week just so that you can know where you believe and then understand. I'm not going to go into them in great detail. We're not going to hammer them all out. Because even concerning the last three, the gap theory, six-day creationism, and progressive creationism, do you know where you are in those? Do you care? You say, no, I don't care. God might want you to care when you have a conversation with somebody who starts asking, and you really need to know where you stand. Because you will give a valid testimony as good as you can to where you are. I'm not going to explain any more of those till next time. We'll just move on. Why was this creation done? For his glory, for his enjoyment. God is under no constraints, no obligations, nothing is necessary for him to respond to, etc., etc. Because again, he is self-existent, he is self-sufficient, he is eternal. He does not need you and I for him to function. He desires to have us, else we wouldn't be here. He does this purely out of his sovereignty, out of his nature. It's who he is, right? It's who he is. It's his character. Let's look that one up. Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians 1:11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Talking about election here, somewhat. Talking about those whom he has chosen, but really the counsel of his will for this entire thing called creation, this entire thing called time. He does all things according to his will. He doesn't do them according to your will or what you desire or what you wished would have been true. He does things as he wills them, as he so determined them to be, determines them to be. He's active in this world with you and I. He's not a deist. He didn't just create the world and sit back and look at it and let it fall apart. He's actively involved with us. And go back to verse 5, same chapter. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. You are here because he willed it. There are choices involved. Yes, there are. And we're not here to explain those in 20 seconds, how that works. Why did God do this? God gains nothing from us. He has determined it to be this way. In the beginning, God. Nothing else. And there is a beginning, and it's a beginning of his created order, which includes time, which includes us, which includes his plan of salvation for man, which includes his son. He did not create his son. Do not hear me say that. Son, Spirit, Father, God. To God be the glory. Amen. We're dismissed for today. Come back for part 2 next week. Amen.